from awardsdaily.com. Welcome to today's Oscar podcast. I'm going to be talking to Rachel Weisz about her role in
London.
Well, I grew up in Tooting, and then I moved to South Norwood. So I'm a South London girl.
I
have to congratulate you on the film. Like, it's such a great film. And I think this is one of your best roles I've seen you in.
Thank you. That's really lovely. I really, really appreciate it. Thank you.
I sat there. I didn't know what to expect from it. And you play Michael Caine's daughter as well. That was just...
Isn't it lovely? Isn't it? His very codependent daughter, isn't she? She's like, can't let go of her daddy.
Well, she's totally... He's totally in every aspect of her life. She's not just the daughter, it's the assistant.
Yeah, I know. It's a really... And I kept thinking, I wonder if she just moved into his bed when my mum... his wife died.
Yeah.
My mum died. That's probably where she just moved in.
Yeah. Right.
She's totally messed up. But then she's got a husband. And she married her dad's best friend, Sam.
Yeah.
So she stayed inside this little bubble. So I think the Mountaineer for her is... It's like a different world. It would be like...
Yeah.
It's like you making friends outside of Hollywood. It's like a whole different... perspective on things, and then to be high up and look down and get over your fear of heights, and it's so poetic, isn't it?
It was, and it seemed like that was freeing for her because, well, he was freeing for her, the mountain climber, because, and I was like thinking, was that, you know, was her dad, you know, that whole circle that she's in with her dad, was that probably the real reason why her husband left her as opposed to her not being...
good in bed. I know, no one's asking you about that. That was one of the reasons I wanted to play the character. I thought it was so funny that he said that Paloma's great. That, what was your question? That it was a really interesting idea.
Yeah, was that the reason that she was actually, why he left her, rather than her not being good in bed, because her dad's such a like domineering figure in her life?
Probably, and the fact that my husband's dad is his best friend. It's all too incestuous.
Yeah.
It's all too... It was probably impossible for him to... My husband to feel like he mattered. I was probably always giving my attention to my dad.
Yeah.
Because they're in the same circle. Is that kind of what you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I never really thought it through, but I think that's probably right. Yeah.
Yeah, that was interesting. So tell me, how did you actually get involved in this film? Did you audition for it, or did Paolo say... I want you in...
He just said, I want you. It was very, you know, I was very surprised that he even knew who I was. You know, The Great Beauty had just come out. I'd seen Il Divo, some of his other films, so I was a big fan. But yeah, no, the script just arrived and said, Paolo wants you for this role. So it was, you know, I was very flattered. You know, it's very flattering when a great European auteur picks you out from an English-speaking world. And then I said I wanted to do it, and he and I met in New York and didn't really discuss the script at all. And then we did the job and still didn't discuss the script. He doesn't rehearse, he doesn't talk about it, we just did it.
Oh,
so it's all immensely unconscious, which I think if you have really good writing and you feel relaxed and free, sometimes that's just, I like it like that.
Wow. What about your chemistry with Michael Caine? Did you know him before this, or...?
And the first scene we shot was that scene in the spa when I give a 3-page monologue, you know,
that's
to him. And that was our first scene together. And I must have met him to say hello to, but we'd never really had a conversation. So that was it. That's how we met. But he and I liked to work in quite a similar way, and neither of us wanted to, like, in between takes, we sort of chat about things nothing to do with the job.
Yeah.
You know, he'd just tell stories and make me laugh, and... I felt very relaxed around him, and it was really easy to forge this, like, heart connection, you know, very, very quickly. He's easy to love. He's a very easy man to love. He's very real. He's just got not a false bone in his body. He's totally real, totally down to earth, really unpretentious, wise in a way that is refreshing.
Did he give you any advice?
No, because he wouldn't... He's not that kind of person. He's not... sort of like, you know, I'm really wise and I... He's just on the level. He's just there, he's telling stories, he's curious, he's alive, he's just interested. He's just interested in everything. He's got a lot of youth. A lot. Much. He's more youthful than a lot of people I know half his age.
Yeah.
In his spirit.
What's the message that I think, you know, people should take away from this film?
I don't know if there's a message, but I think that wherever you are in your life, it could speak to you. So if you're 80 or 40 or 20, it will reflect something back to you about where you are in your life at that time. If you're just a child, if you're a parent and a child, or if you're a grandparent,
yeah,
wherever you are, I think it could speak to you about the journey so far or what's left. I mean, yeah. Michael Caine's character finds a future at 82, having been not in a midlife crisis but an old age crisis.
Right.
He's sort of shut down and his creativity's dried up and he's stuck in the past. He's more, you know, he's stuck with his dead wife and he can't move on. And that can happen to people at any age, and suddenly at 82 he has this incredible future. So I think it's about finding, being reborn or finding youth and optimism at any age.
Yeah.
I think so. What do you think?
I think so. I really think that, yeah. You're never too old to find your youth, I guess, maybe.
Youth itself, it's gone in a minute, right?
Right.
You just have it and it's gone and you don't even know what it was. And, you know, like Oscar Wilde said, it's wasted on the young. You know, it's not. Youth is not something when it's happening you're aware of. And then it's gone. So
yeah.
I think youth's a bit, it's sort of overrated in terms of like calendar year, you know, actual age years.
Yeah.
I'm pointing at my watch. You don't see that on your thingy. But youth is openness and curiosity and hunger for youth. I mean, that's what happens when you're young.
Yeah.
So you can be, I think finding youth when you're out of the calendar age of youth,
yeah,
that's more interesting because then you have wisdom and insight and, yeah. I think my character, though, she's got too much youth. I don't mean in the way she looks. I mean in her, inside, she's sort of regressed.
Yeah.
She's like, she's got to grow up already. It's like, come on, girl, you're a grown-up. Get out there and, like, leave your dad. So there's so many different meanings of it, I guess.
I love your character, I do. It's funny. And then let's just talk about being a woman in this industry. We touched, you know, when you touched on it briefly at the beginning, but how hard has it been for you? Because you're now turning to producing, by snapping up novels and books so that you can later produce them.
Yeah. Well, actually, I'm not doing that out of frustration for my age range. I'm doing it because people asked me 10 years ago, what do you want to produce? Do you want to produce? I just didn't know what. I was like, I just don't know what. I mean, I just didn't know. But now, because of having more experience, I really have a sense of what kind of movies I want to produce and who I want to work with. There's one I produce that I'm not in. It's just coming out in England this next week, called Radiator, which is actually quite a good companion piece to Youth.
Oh, okay.
And it was made for, it's a tiny micro-budget indie movie, made for £100,000, and the picture house I distribute. It's called Radiator. I can get you a link if you want. I think it's extraordinary. It's about, people have said it's like, it got incredible reviews at the London Film Festival. They said it's like the British Amour, you know, that Michael
Hill.
So it's about an elderly couple, but from the point of view of their son who's 40, so, you know, around
my
age. And like caring for old people. It's very funny and dark and, you know, I have, you know, aging parents, and it's something that everyone goes through, and I've never seen a film about it before. It's beautiful.
I want to watch it.
Yeah, okay, I'll get you a link.
Yeah, get me a link, that'd be
link.
Great.
Yeah.
And then,
yeah,
is it going to come out here at all? Or?
Let's hope so. Let's hope so. If it gets good enough.
I'll do a write-up on it.
Brilliant. It's beautiful. Yeah. I mean, it was a proper little project, a passion. Everyone did it for no money, and I just read the script, and I just believed in this writer-director, and so we helped bring it to the screen, and it's really special. I think you'll like it.
I loved it more. So.
Yeah.
But, you know, are you going to go into directing at some point? Or?
I don't think so. I directed a short film with Joel Edgerton about 4 years ago.
Yeah.
But no, I like developing material and acting. That's enough for me.
But you've got this, you've got Lobster as well.
I've got this. I've got five films in the can actually, which are going to be coming out in the next 12 months, I guess. Lobster Youth. Those are the first ones I did. And then I did like Between the Oceans with Derek C. in France.
Yeah.
Heard about that. So we'll be out in the spring, I think, with Fassbender and Alicia Vikander. And then I did a film with Josh Marston that I think might be going to Sundance, but we'll see. So he did that movie Maria Full of Grace. Did you see that movie?
I've heard
Spanish?
Of it. Yeah.
So I did that with Michael Shannon, and then I did this wonderful film over the summer with Colin Firth, which James Marsh directed, which I think might be, I haven't seen it yet, but it was a really great experience.
What was it like shooting in Switzerland?
Beautiful. It was springtime, so it was like riot of wildflowers everywhere. I've been to Switzerland, but only for skiing in the winter time. But yeah, it was beautiful, really, really, really beautiful. The hotel was not yet open when we got there, so there was no room service or maids or nothing. It was like The Shining. It was quite weird.
Oh my god!
Yeah, so we went down the hill and got pizzas and then came back up, and yeah, it was beautiful. It's very beautiful. Yeah.
We have time for one more question.
Okay. Just, what attracted you to the role?
Well, Paolo, first and foremost, it was the director.
Yeah.
I wanted to be inside his dream, because it's like some dream working with him, being in his unconscious or something. And the role, I just love the idea of a grown-up woman who is that codependent with her dad, and all the stuff we talked about, like...
Yeah.
Sleeping in a bed with him, being that angry with him as well, just being that, being my age and being that angry with your dad, is like, you meant to have got over it by now, but that level of anger and love and codependency and fear, she was frightened to be a grown-up.
Yeah.
I thought that was a really interesting character, really unusual.
Well, you don't see that on film much.
No.
You really don't see that sort of character much, or if you do, then she's got issues. And they make it an issue.
But yeah, whereas Paolo was like, there's lots of different people in the world. This is one of them. We love her. You know, he's very unjudgmental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful film.
Oh.
It's one of your best roles today, I have to say.
Thank you. So.